You know, the things that fill our minds, they can either promote and move ahead our relationships, or sometimes they can be an absolute block to a relationship and just sort of stop things in their tracks. You know, this last week, I was at home and I was having lunch, and I was just finishing up lunch. And just finishing up, my plate was now empty, and I must have got that starry gaze in my eye as I looked ahead, because Sheena asked that deadly question for all husbands. What are you thinking about? And I said, I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for supper. Sheena shook her head, and it just reminded me of one of those memes that I saw going around, and I watched it because it was an English one. It was a fake news report, and it was about man ruins romantic getaway weekend with wife by saying what he really thought. And it goes on, it's like an interview, and so they got the couple standing there, and there's this marvelous country English inn standing behind them. Just warmed my heart to see it, reminded me of Thornhoff. And then they're interviewing the wife. They said, what happened to you today? And she said, well, we just come back from this marvelous romantic walk through the countryside. And we got back to the inn, and we were having dinner, which is supper for you guys, having dinner, and I asked my husband what he was thinking about. I thought he'd say something really beautiful, like, someday it'll be wonderful to bring the kids here. Or even if it was something cheesy and yet delightful, like, right now I have all that I need. But he didn't say that. What were you thinking about, sir? I was thinking that pigs are a lot bigger than you imagine them to be. We've just been in this walk and seen some pigs, and I said that to Sheena, and Sheena said, exactly. The things that fill our mind, they can either help us hear things and know what's going on around, or they can be a bit of a block. Now, we get preoccupied with things. And what we're going to look at today is how some things can deafen us to the words of Jesus. What impressed me about that event is exactly this. Jesus, as we've seen in this movie, as we've seen in this story, has been going along doing all these amazing things, incredible teaching about what it is to live the kingdom of life on earth and how it is that we're to relate to one another. Amazing miracles like feeding thousands of people from just a few scraps of food and having an overabundance left over for everybody. And the Jewish leadership just could not hear what Jesus was saying. It's like they had cotton wool in their ears. Which sometimes I think that we have as well. And so as we kind of go through this whole thing and think about what's the cotton wool that gets in our ears, I'd like you to just kind of hold on to this a little bit. Hold it. Let it be tactile for you. And whenever we think and see something in this text that maybe is a deafening thing for your ears, that makes it difficult for you to hear Jesus, maybe give that cotton wool just a little bit of a squeeze. And we're going to do something with it at the end. So let's read this passage. And let's see, as we go through, try to watch for and figure out all of the things that are like cotton wool in the ears of the Jewish leadership. All right, so here we go. Matthew chapter 16. We're just going to do the first 12 verses. Here we go. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus, and they tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. That's an important thing. Think about that. And he replied, you know, when evening comes, you say it'll be fair weather. And when the sky is red in the morning, today will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you somehow cannot guess, and you may not interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and an adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given you except the sign of Jonah. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, and Ryan's going to talk lots about it next week. Jesus then left them, and he went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves, and they said, oh man, it's because we forgot to bring bread. And aware of their discussions, Jesus said, oh, you little faith, oh, you little trusters, as Ryan says. Why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? How can you be so deaf? How come you've got some cotton wool stuffed in your ears? Be on your guard against the yeast and the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast and the bread, but against teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All right. Did you pick up on some of these woolly things that various people in the story had stuffed in their ears that they just couldn't get what Jesus was on about? They were missing it. I had four or five of them. Maybe you had more. You can tell me them later. But let me share with you the five things that I could have picked up. Number one is pride. Pride. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were probably an official delegation from the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin were the formal rulers of the Jewish nation. It's kind of like if we had all of our MPs and all of our senators and the Supreme Court and whatever religious leaders that you want all gathered together. They were the leaders of Israel. And they sent a delegation out to Jesus. They were the leaders and the guardians and the official teachers of Israel and also the popular teachers. These are like the CBC and your Instagram influencers all kind of wrapped up into one. And here's this upstart, this influencer from who knows where, and he's getting more followers than they were. Who did he think he was? You see, they were the ones that thought they knew all about it. They were the ones that were filled with pride. And it's very hard to hear Jesus when we already think we have all the answers. It's just tough. Our pride can get in the way of hearing God. Alan, apologize first. Not a chance. Did you understand what they did to me? It's their fault, not mine. Take a chance. Invite your friend to come to worship. Oh, no way, not doing that. I mean, they might reject me. I might get my feelings hurt. Alan, you're really struggling with this. Why don't you ask some people in the church to help you with this? No, I think I'll do it all by myself. Thank you very much. It's pride. And sometimes all kinds of expressions of pride can be like cotton wool in my ears, and I don't hear the gentle whispering of the Spirit. The next thing that was a block to them was what we've been describing as hard, shielded hearts. That's what we spent the last few weeks really talking about. The Pharisees had built this wall of religious rituals around their hearts. And Jesus says to them, listen, it's just like God said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. You've got this wall around you. You've got distance disguised as devotion. Or as Ryan said last night, they protected their hearts by these external rules so that their hearts couldn't be touched by God. So that their hearts could then touch the world. They protected themselves with ritual. Hard hearts deafen us to God. Because we protect ourselves and our lives and our desires instead of opening them up to the leading of the Holy Spirit, which might take us to places that hurt for others, and that take actions that we're maybe reluctant to do. The Pharisees' hard-heartedness and legalistic ritual consumed them. But the Sadducees, they had another problem that was deafening them to God. And it was politics and social status. There's two things that we know about the Sadducees. Number one is that they were the socially elite. They were the aristocrats. They were the ones who were on the top of the social pile. And this system they had set up, man, it was really working for them. I mean, they were the kings of the hill. They were living their best life as far as they were concerned. And the other thing we know about the Sadducees is that they were politically connected and consumed with politics. You see, well, the Pharisees, they added to God's word. They were adding all of these rules and regulations and rituals that they used to protect their hearts and stop them moving forward and had them sort of bound up. The Sadducees, they did the opposite. They took away from God's word. The Sadducees didn't believe in the Spirit. They didn't believe in the resurrection. For the Sadducees, the here and now was all that was going to count. Didn't believe in angels, didn't believe in resurrection, so their focus was what was happening now. And what was happening now and what worked for them was collaboration with Rome. Political expediency. Making sure that the politics were right. And that they were in cahoots with Rome so that they could maintain their status and their wealth and their influence and their comfort. And so they were deaf to Jesus. Because they could understand that the things that Jesus was talking about, this kingdom that Jesus was bringing to earth, was a very, very different kingdom than the kingdom that they were enjoying and that they were benefiting from. So they didn't want to hear it. You know, I don't talk about politics very much because I gave up. But, you know, years ago, a friend of mine, Steve Hofstede, Steve is very politically engaged. And we were talking one time, and I was talking about politics with him and stuff, and Steve hit me up. He said, "Alan, we're Christians, and so we need to be voting not what's best for me, but what's best for others. Not what's best for you, Alan, raised in a, you know, good background of home, middle class, white, male, middle-aged. What needs to determine your vote, Alan, is what about those who don't have those advantages?"
You were middle-aged.
People have been thinking I've been middle-aged all my life. They're always shocked that I'm as young as I am. It stopped me in my tracks. Because the truth is that sometimes I didn't want to hear the words of Jesus if it was going to affect my political stance. As a matter of fact, sometimes I would even conflate my faith and my politics instead of my Jesus shaping what I think and vote, willing to change. This is the Sadducees. Things were working for them. They had the awesome system. They were the aristocrats. They were the rulers. They had everything going well. They didn't want to hear about this Jesus guy and how it's going to change. I'm tempted to turn a deaf ear if it threatens my political stance or my social advantage. Politics and status can deafen us because we can tend to care more about what works for us, for me, than what Jesus wants. Fourth thing that I saw in here that was cotton wool in the eyes of some of these people is inaccurate and disappointed expectations. Did you notice what it was that the Pharisees and the Sadducees asked for Jesus? They came and asked Jesus, "Hey Jesus, we want a sign." And the key word here is from heaven. I mean, Jesus had been doing all kinds. I mean, how many signs do they want? He'd been having this incredible teaching. He'd fed these thousands of people. I mean, there was miracle after miracle after miracle. Well, how many signs do you want? But you see, what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rulers of Israel thought is that, listen, signs on earth can be counterfeited. They can be fake. It could be a magician that makes the cotton wool disappear or something. But a sign from heaven, a sign like Elijah. Do you remember the story of Elijah? You can read all about it there in 1 Kings chapter 18. Remember that whole deal where he's in, you know, the argument with the prophet of Baal, and they go to Mount Carmel and they have him build a sacrifice. You remember the story, you know, and the false prophets, they're doing all their dances and slicing themselves up and all these things. And then Elijah, he says, "Okay, you guys, you've had enough. It's not going to work, right?" Okay. And remember, he put all those buckets of water all over the fire and the sacrifice. And then what happened? He did what? He called, begins with an F, fire down from heaven. And it was all consumed and licked up, the flames licked up the water. They said, "Listen, if we want to know that you're truly the Messiah, if you think that you're this big change, we want a sign that can't be replicated, that we can't be fooled by. We want to see something like fire coming down from heaven and burning up that Roman garrison." It's a sign from heaven. You're not given signs from heaven. Second thing is that the Jewish people did not expect miracles of healing to be a sign of the Messiah. It wasn't on their radar. This whole thing about healing people, yeah, that's nice and that's good and God does those things, but it wasn't a sign of the Messiah. Now, you raising up an army and overthrowing Rome, that's a sign of the Messiah. And so they had these expectations of what God would be doing when the Messiah came. And when their expectations were not filled, they could not hear God. That ever happened to you? You expect God to have to work in a certain way, to answer prayers in a certain way, to work out situations in our life in a certain way. And when it doesn't work out in the way that we expect, man, we have a hard time seeing God in those circumstances. It's tough. And sometimes we get really disappointed, maybe even angry, and disappointed expectations deafen us. Because when we're so disappointed that our expectations are not met, that we can't see the very ways that God is actually working. And we don't hear the voice of God in the midst of that disappointment or frustration and anger. Because, man, we really thought that God was going to act this way, and he's not acting this way, so I guess he's not in it at all. You know, disappointed expectations deafen us because we stop looking for God in how he's actually speaking and working. Many of us experienced the cotton wool in these four things. I know I have in different times of my life. But those four were not the things that really stopped me dead in my tracks in this passage. What really stopped me and made me think about what's really going on here is this fifth way that I have cotton wool in my ears. And honestly, I kind of suspect it's the most common way, the most common cotton wool that we as believers in Christ have in our ears. The thundering sound of failure. The sound of failure that deafens everything else out. That's what verses 5 and following are all about. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they discussed this among themselves, and they said, it's because we failed. It's because we didn't bring any bread that Jesus is saying this. You know, honestly, I kind of usually skip over verse 5 as a bit of a throwaway verse and dive right into this whole thing about the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees, their false teaching, their religiosity, their legalism, their corrupt assumptions, their compromise, and all of those things, and the teaching that was like yeast and would spread throughout all societies, really spreading poison and dirt throughout it all. And I'd skip over verse 5. But this time the Holy Spirit, as he spoke to my heart, stopped me at verse 5. They forgot to bring bread. They're heading out on a long journey and they forgot to bring food. And they're feeling bad about this. We know that because they felt when Jesus begins to speak, they said it's like they thought Jesus thinking, guys, you have two things to do. Number one, bring bread. Number two, sail the boat. I'm going to do everything else. You've just got two things to do. And one of them is to make sure we have lunch because we're going on this long way. And you blew it. Such simple things that you had to do and you couldn't even do two things. And so Jesus is bringing this up, not because he's thinking they're spreading about the corruptive, destructive attitudes and teachings. They think, oh, he's disappointed in me. He's rebuking me. Because I failed. Because truth be told, the things that Jesus expected of me, not that complex, not that tough, but I blow it anyhow. He's disappointed and he's rebuking us for our failure not warning us out of love. Their sense of failure, guilt, and shame prevented them from hearing what Jesus was saying. The thundering sound of their failure caused them to hear every word of Jesus as an accusation and condemnation. Their sense of guilt caused them to forget everything that Jesus had done. And as Christians by the thousands, we're in the same boat. The thundering sound of our shortcomings, of our failure, of our sin, causes us not to hear the words of Jesus of love and grace, but every word of his as condemnation and rejection and failure. And it causes us to forget everything that Jesus has done, including shedding his blood to wash away our sin. And we get so consumed by how disappointed God must be in me that I can't even hear his words of love. These men were in a boat consumed by their failure. And I think so many of us are in that same boat. So aware of our shortcomings and our failures, we've got cotton wool in our ears, and we don't hear the love and the forgiveness and the acceptance of Jesus. You know, this is why we have communion, one of the reasons we have communion every week. Because the point of this table is to take our sense of failure, especially perhaps our real failures, not just our imagined ones, and to take it to the table, to deal with our guilt and our shame and our deafness. We forget bread. I forget bread. We fall. Sometimes in the most basic of things, the most simple of things, the things that we know that we should have conquered years ago, we forget bread. We forget to forgive those who've hurt us. We forget to serve those in our busyness. We forget to allow God to touch our heart so that our heart can suffer with those who are suffering and be moved to acts of mercy. And overnight, we're trying to fall asleep. We remember, how did I fall into that simple thing again? How did I repeat that sin I've had before, so many times before? How did this happen? And when we think about that and we get stuck in that, we don't hear Jesus. We don't hear the Holy Spirit coming and saying, remember what I did. That I washed all of that away. It's real and it's serious and it put me on the cross. But it put me on the cross so that you could be free of that. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Scott was telling us about a little talk he has with the people he's baptizing, as he's getting them set up to be baptized. And he talks to them about the Lord's table. He says, you know what? We're going to have the Lord's table every week, and it's maybe a little bit weird for you. What are they doing? What's it mean? It's kind of hard to... What am I supposed to be doing during it? He says, I want to give you just a little bit of an outline of what to do at the Lord's table. And we all thought it was so good. Scott's dad would say, listen, when you're coming up to the table, I want you to think about the ways that you've messed up. I want you to think about maybe, he didn't say this, but I'm saying, the ways that you put cotton wool in your ears. And when you get to the table and you have the elements in front of you and you take them, I want you to look up and see Jesus on the cross. And I want you to remember that, yeah, your sin put me there. the stuff you do, it's serious stuff. It's not little stuff. It's serious. But then, I want you to look past my body and I want you to look into the eyes of Jesus. And I want you to see that he's looking at you with eyes of love. And I want you to hear his voice say to you, Alan, you're forgiven. It's washed away. It's gone. It's buried in the deepest sea. It's thrown away as far as the east is from the west. And I want you to realize that no matter how big your sin is, do you have that picture? It's not bigger than Christ on the cross. No matter how far you've gone, it's not bigger than that. It's not bigger than the Son of God in the flesh on the cross carrying the agony of the world. Your failure mustn't deafen you to my love. And then when you've done that, I want you to think about the week that's coming up ahead. And maybe you've got some tough things that you've got to face and some difficult circumstances that you've got to battle. And maybe you've got to go and ask for forgiveness or show forgiveness or who knows what. Maybe you're going to be into a situation where you're tempted, where the person, you know, that you've been attracted to, that you shouldn't be attracted to, or whatever's going on. Maybe you've got these things, and I want you to bring them to Jesus, and I want you to hear Jesus say, let's take that on together. Because I will whisper my guidance to you. Because you can hear me. And I'll empower you to take that on. And so we're going to come to the table. This table. We've got three of them around the room. And I invite you to think about the things that are deafening you from Jesus' words. And maybe it's your pride. And you've seen how that's messed up in this last week. Maybe you've hardened your heart to protect yourself so you can carry on. Maybe it's your politics or your status that you've been protecting and you're unwilling to lay down for the sake of Jesus. Man, for many of us, maybe it's you are so, so disappointed that things have not turned out as you thought God would turn them out, and you just kind of want to give up, and you don't hear Jesus anymore. And maybe for a whole pile of us, there's the thundering sound of your failure, of your sin. And Jesus invites us to come to these tables with these symbols of the stuff in our life that feels like it's separating us from God and making it so that we can't hear God. And there's plates there. And Jesus invites us to take this junk in our life, whatever it is, the things we talked about or something else, and to leave it at the table. And to take the bread, which Jesus said is given for you, take the cup, which Jesus said is the blood of the new covenant. Poured out to take care of that failure, that sin, that distance, that whatever. And to partake of those elements as you pick them up and go back to your chair and just hear Jesus. Is my sin? Yeah. But hear me, hear me, hear me. Forgiven, 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 and invited to spend this week coming up with Jesus, able to hear his whispers in your ear, his instruction of love, his words of grace, his empowering presence, and take on whatever junk you've got coming up. Let's not be deaf anymore. Let's hear. Not words of condemnation because we failed, but words of love because we've been forgiven. Almighty God, we come now to the table. Lord, don't allow it to be religion for us, a shield, protect our hearts, a routine that we go through, but a true encounter with you. A time where we can think about the things that are maybe deafening us to your word, to you, to your statement of love. Pride or politics or disappointment. And above all, sin. And let us consider that, yeah, that my sin put Christ on the cross. But instead of hatred and wrath, your eyes are filled with love and grace and forgiveness. Help us to take the cotton wool out of our ears and hear the words, you are forgiven, I love you. And they cause us to offer up this next week to you as a sacrifice of praise. As we hear your guidance. Lord, this is your table. It's not up to me or the person beside me as to whether I should take your table or not. It's your table and you invite people. You invite people, no matter how far they've gone, no matter how close they are, to come and to eat with you again. So we do so with great thanksgiving now. Because you are the Jesus who loves us, who died for us, who lives for us. Thank you.